Good morning, church. I invited Guy up here. He's going to be my co-preacher. He's going to preach with his hands while I preach with my words. Are you doing a selfie?
More light.
Oh. Just you being up here is more light. It's good. Good morning. Hey, how's everybody doing this morning? We all right? We're getting there? Yeah, we are going to get there. All right, I want you to turn your Bibles, if you got them, to Luke 4, verses 1 to 3. Luke 4, verses 1 to 3, and it says this, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation." We've been moving through this series on worship. Today we're going to talk about the act of preparation in worship. And it's an essential act, this act of preparation. In fact, when I was planning out this worship series last year, I had this slotted down as the first sermon that we would do in our series. And we're at about number 8 in this worship series. And for whatever reason, it seemed the timing has landed here. I just want to draw your attention to those, to that Luke 4, actually it wasn't 4, 1 to 3, was it? It was 4, 4 to 6. Thanks for being so polite. Verse 4 says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness." Say it with me. "Prepare the way for the Lord." You can't see it, but you can repeat that, right? So chapter 3, verse 4. Apparently my dyslexia is kicking in. I don't have dyslexia. It's just wrong on my note here. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke 4. I'm actually going to turn to my Bible and not my notes. This, my friends, is how I show you what good preparation isn't. Not only that, I grab your attention. See, this is all part of it. And God continues to use me in spite of my lack of preparation. Luke 3, verse 4. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, say this with me, prepare the way for the Lord." One more time, "Prepare the way for the Lord." Now, this is what John did. This is what he called the people in that time to, was this preparation. And what I want to suggest to you is that this preparation still is essential. Absolutely essential for us in all areas of our spiritual walk. Because if we move through our life without intentional preparation, we will find ourselves behind. Specifically, though, what we're talking about is our preparation, our build up as we anticipate coming to this Sunday gathering. As we anticipate coming to worship the God of all creation, as we anticipate coming and raising our voices. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now, I'm not sure what you're like as far as preparation goes. There are massive differences here. I know, because I know many of you, and some of us may land on the spectrum as one who flies by the seat of their pants, so to say, which is whatever happens, you just take it as it comes. You know that you're going on a holiday that involves a passport and a flight or something like that, and it's going to be 2 weeks, but you don't need to pack until about 30 minutes before you have to drive and get to the ferry. Some of us are like that. Right? There are others of us here who know that the holiday is coming up or some trip is coming up, and about 2 months before, you start to meticulously make your list. A week later, you double check it, you add a few things, you take a few things away. About a month out, you start to pack your bags. Any of those here? Yes. Yes. All right. Now, it's quite possible that you married somebody who's on the other side of the spectrum. Anybody like that? Oh, yeah. Which is really fun. It's fun after you figure it out, right? It's fun after you figure it out. So I land on the fly by the seat of your pants spectrum. Jody lands on the let's plan this out meticulously detailed. The only part of it is I can't see what Jody's planning. I can't see in her mind. And so there's a bit of this tension as we're trying to get the bags together because I'll want to help, but I don't know how to help. And for me, I'm totally fine. I'll just grab a couple pairs of underwear, a couple pairs of socks, a couple pants. What else do I need, right? Now, here's the thing. That's a reality and a practical. And so as I talk about preparation, there's some of us that will go, oh, yes, I get to make another list. Okay, it's not about making a list. There's others who are going to go, oh, no, I have to plan for something else. It's not about that either. Okay, this is all about a heart attitude that translates from the heart first out into your actions. So an author wrote this as they're talking about Hebrew roots, the quality of an occasion and the success of it is often determined by the amount of preparation that goes into it. Think about that for a second. The quality of an occasion, the success of it is often determined by the amount of preparation that goes into it. Now, our heart, our desire at Crossroads, and one of the things that we've even identified as a value of ours is passionate worship. And so that's this heartfelt, heart-filled worship. And what I want to suggest to you is that it's going to be hard for us to get to that heart-filled, heart-abandoned worship unless we're all in together, unless we're all investing, unless we're all planning, unless we're all preparing. Would you agree? Yeah, some. Now, John the Baptist said this in a broad sense, but I believe that it applies to us as we prepare our hearts through the week to gather together, to lift our voices to the one who knows every single thing about us, to the one who knows our greatest achievements and our greatest failures. And neither of those mean that much to him because all he does is see us and love us. Right? That's who our God is. That's who the one that we worship is. And so John the Baptist, this man who shows up at the beginning of a number of the Gospels, has a message for us. If you have your Bibles, this time I'm actually going to read from mine. So if you've got yours, whether it's on your phone or in your hands, that's great. Turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, we have Bibles that we want to give to you. So just let us know and we'll get you one. So this is the guy that Isaiah, that prophet from hundreds of years before, talked about. And he had this message and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And repent, that means change your mind and let that changed mind transfer into your actions. He is the voice calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." So part of this message, part of this movement through that John called people to was a repentance. It was a confession of sins. It was a get yourselves right with God. Make straight paths. prepare the way. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. See, there's this essential piece for us, church, about preparation. And for some of us here, this may actually be one of the first times you actually think about what it's like to prepare yourselves to come and gather on a Sunday morning. And that's okay. For some of us here, we've heard a call, and in the past, we've grabbed onto it. Taking part in a season like Lent would be a similar preparation of your heart. But maybe you've grabbed onto it in the past and you've let it slide right now. This is a reminder, a call for us to take up that action of preparation. And for some of us, you've arrived prepared and God is already stirring and He's already moving in your hearts, in your minds, in your being. Prepare the way. In the midst of a project at our house, it's been a project of about 4 or 5 years or so. You've heard me talk about it before. And this project turned out to be a fairly massive project. All the massive stuff, though, is completed now. We're at the phase of painting. Anybody here painted before? Okay, so most of us have painted before. Now, here's one of the things about painting, for those of you who haven't, for those of you who didn't put your hand up, and this can be verified for everybody else who did. A lot of painting is in the preparation. A lot of painting is in the preparation. Now, I went through my younger years, I helped with painting here and there, and then I was finally taught by this guy who was, he didn't have the ticket, but was like a journeyman painter, and he just took me through, it seemed like we did days and days and days of painting preparation. Where you had to get the wall right, you had to fix all of the scratches, the divots in the wall, and then you couldn't just paint right over that, you had to make sure they were sanded properly, and then you had to prime that before you put the roller on it, because if you didn't prime it, you would see a flat part and the textured painted part. Any of this ringing a bell? You tracking with me? See, if you don't take care of the underlying surface, all of those imperfections, all of those things will show right through the paint. And no matter how many layers of paint you put on, if you haven't, for example, sanded off the right amount of the new mud on a drywall job, or if you haven't filled in properly damage, it will show through with the paint. What I want to suggest to you is that worship and mission with God is like painting. Worship and mission with God is like painting. Now, why are you saying worship and mission? Here's the thing. The two things that we are called to as followers of Jesus are worship, loving God with everything we are, and mission. And that's loving our neighbors the way that we love ourselves. Jesus said that everything in Scripture is summed up by just those two simple things. Love God with everything you are. And then love your neighbors the way that you love yourselves. Worship and mission. And so worship with God is like painting. Good preparation is essential for a good paint job. Now you can still make mistakes. For example, if you apply too much pressure on the roller, you'll get what, there's different names for it, but the paint will come off in a big line, and I was taught that that's called a sausage. Anybody have any other names for it? A whoops. Yeah, whoops. So if too much paint on it, you'll leave a big line. If you don't take care of that and smooth that out, feather it into the next, it'll show through. So, but preparation is all key. Now, here's the thing, church. Here's the thing. God has done all the preparation for us. God's done all the preparation for us. His love has made a way for us to have access to Him. Remember, pursue an encounter? Pursue an encounter is part of our mission at Crossroads. It's this acknowledgement that God pursues us. God comes after us. God is always coming after us. Why? Because he loves us so much. And when we have that aha moment, that pause, whether it's in a space of tragedy or a triumph, when we have that moment where we hear clearly God's heart for us, we have this encounter. Right? And then we pursue God. And we join him in mission and pursuing others. Pursue an encounter. And it's a cycle that we go through, that we move through. And so this preparation work that God has done is anything that you've done in your life. Anything that you have, anywhere that you've sinned, anywhere you've gone outside of God's will, you're covered. You don't have to fix it in a spiritual sense. There's a good chance if you've offended or hurt someone that you have to make amends, and that's good. That's healthy. But as far as that separation from God, you're covered. That's the preparation work that I'm talking about. God's done it. He's prepared the way. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." Anybody have enemies in their life? A couple of honest people. We all have people that we don't get along with, but the reality is those aren't actually our enemies. Our enemies are in the spiritual realm, and that's the enemy who's trying to destroy us. And oftentimes the enemy will influence our human counterparts as they're against us. But the battle really is against in the spiritual realms. And what God has done is he's already covered that. Read this and listen. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So in the midst of the enemy trying to overcome you, God has a table set for you. And it's not just set, it's fully prepared. "You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." So it's not just, oh, I'm oppressed, I'm beaten down, everybody's against me, the enemy's out to... Listen, God's prepared a table for you. And so whatever you're feeling, whatever you're facing, if you focus on the enemy or the problem, you will be distracted from the truth that the table is there, that the cup is overflowing. It's just time for you to pick it up and take a drink from it. Matthew 22, verse 4. This is Jesus telling a story about a dinner that's been prepared. And he says, "Tell those who have been invited, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened livestock are all butchered, everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." Jesus has prepared it. He's done that work. Now, it's interesting, if you want, I'm going to give you one more, but this idea of preparation is throughout Scripture. The last is this: "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." God has done the initial work of preparation. Our part, even as we think about preparing to come and gather on a Sunday morning, that's our counter pursuit of him. Now, Jesus and John, as they're talking about preparing the way, they're speaking to a people who understand the Sabbath. They understand what it means to have 6 days of work and then a full and complete pause on that seventh day, that Sabbath day. Now, the Jewish calendar, that preparation day would be on the Friday, and the Sabbath would be the day that you do absolutely nothing. Now, I know that we have some people who have been to Israel here. Anybody been to Israel? Raise your hand. Okay, so you would have seen a culture that understands, engages in the Sabbath, right? That would have been dialogued through. Okay, so there's a line there. And if you want detail on the Sabbath, because culturally it's fasting, go talk to Joe or Peter and Frenny or Mike. I'm going to give you a couple brief points here because it's important that we understand it. So in Scripture, we see it in the New Testament. It's called this preparation day, where people anticipate the day before what is going to happen on the day of rest. And you see it in Mark 15, Luke 25, John 19. And in order to adequately keep the Sabbath, you had to stop from doing everything. Right? So if you had a need for food, you had to make sure that was prepared. You couldn't light a fire on the Sabbath. Anything you had related to business would have to be done the day before. You would, on that Friday, have a cleansing bath called a mikveh, followed by prayer and a reading of Scripture. And then Sabbath would begin at dusk with the appearance of the stars. Now, our purpose isn't really to talk about Sabbath. It's to talk about the intentionality of preparing for the Sabbath. And here's the thing. The Pharisees grabbed onto this and rolled it to the ground, and they were merciless with it. Right? We hear about Jesus. He would go in and he would teach on the Sabbath, because that's when the Jews, they would gather together and they would read Scripture and they would sing. And he was teaching on the Sabbath. And I was reading this in Mark the other day. There was this guy with a hand that was all shriveled up. And they're watching Jesus intently because they know that he's one that goes around doing these things that you shouldn't do on the Sabbath. And Jesus knows they're watching. And he says two things. First, your sins are forgiven. Second, be healed. And all of a sudden, this man's hand is healed. And then he confronts the Pharisees, doesn't he? He goes right after them. And he interprets it to the heart of the law. Now, we're on the other side of that legalism. Right? So, while we're talking about preparation, we can't make this into a legalistic venture. But at the same time, while we know that Jesus abolished the law, he abolished legalism, but he fulfilled the heart of the law. Which means that we still have a call on ourselves to prepare ourselves. Interesting piece for you. Did you know that the Sabbath will endure through our time and into eternity? Do you know that? Isaiah 66 says this, "As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another. All mankind will come and bow down before me." This idea of preparation will still exist because we're preparing for the next Sabbath when God is living with us, when God is in our midst, when he is our son. So here's the question then, church. Is God worth it? Is God worthy of your preparation? Yes. And it's so in one sense easy in this moment to answer yes. When it becomes challenging is when we drive out of the parking lot. When it becomes challenging is tomorrow we wake up and we realize something that we should have done last Wednesday isn't done yet, and that there's this obligation and duty and so on and so forth. When it becomes challenging is next Saturday when you're exhausted, flat out from the week. The idea of adding or taking anything away from your schedule just seems impossible. And what you really need is a Netflix and something else, and all of a sudden you're zoned out. Let me ask you this, church. If you knew that you were going to die 2 weeks from now, what would change in your schedule? What would change in the way that you do life? What would change in the way that you process? What would change in the way that you prepare? Jesus said this in Matthew 24, "Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Understand this. The owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming. He would have kept watch, would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now, if you read all of Matthew 24, that is one of the most uncomfortable chapters in Scripture. Because it actually talks about our behavior having an impact. And so while we don't want to focus and become pharisaical on the behavior itself and make all these rules, at the same time, we can't push it all the way to the other side where nothing means anything and everything goes. What you do matters. The way that you prepare matters. See, the heart of this message came from a conversation that I had with a friend. It was possibly a year and a half or so ago. And my friend had gone to this church that was known for amazing worship. And it was known for functioning in God's supernatural. And my friend had done a few things in anticipation and preparation of going to that church. Right, he had done some heart preparation. He had done some prayer before going into it. There was this anticipation that he had going there. And one day, I believe my friend will share that story here. Today's just not that day. But as he told me what he did, in my heart, I was convicted. I was convicted because I realized that I don't always prepare my heart the way I should to come and worship with you, my church. And I believe that as we think about it, there are many of us here who don't actually do the preparation to make our lives straight paths, so that when we enter in on a Sunday morning, we are ready to lift our hands and experience the presence of God as He comes among us. Now, don't hear condemnation. Hear invitation. Right? We're all moving. We're all pressing towards. There is no condemnation, only invitation. And that's the way it is with God, isn't it? Now, one of the keys that my friend had was this anticipation. He had this anticipation. He had this outlook. He had this foretaste. He had this advanced realization of something that was going to happen. Sounds like faith. See, and I believe that I read my friend's heart correctly in that moment. It wasn't the location per se. It was what God was doing, and it was seeing God at work that he was longing for. And he did experience and encounter God. And all throughout Scripture, Hebrews 11 points out all of these four fathers and the faith that they had. Not knowing what was going to come, but trusting in the promise that God had given. And stepping into it. Throughout the Gospels, we hear about Jesus as he corrects and corrects and corrects the people around him, saying, "You have to have faith. You have to have this anticipation that God loves you and is going to do exactly what he said." See, church, we need to have that faith that God loves us, and that as we worship and lift our voices, that he will come among us. Is God worthy? Absolutely. Absolutely he is. So let me ask you this. What are you anticipating right now in your life? If I said, what is it that you are looking forward to in your life? Don't say it out loud. This isn't one of those exercises. Just keep it inside. What is it that you're anticipating? Think about it. Okay, now hold that, but put it to the side. Okay, second question is this. What is it you anticipate as you come to church? What is it you anticipate as you come to church? And then the third thing is, what do you anticipate as we worship? What do you anticipate as we worship? I want you to hold these three things, these three responses, as we move into it and essentially make it really practical, all these ideas of preparation that we've been talking about, okay? So while this applies to all of our spiritual life, this idea of preparation specifically, we're talking about this gathering and our worship together. So the first thing is I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. For some of you, what is it that you anticipate when you come to church? You had an image or a picture of somebody. You had a negative experience. You had some kind of a judgment. You had some kind of a style take on it. Here's the thing. And I'm saying this to me as well, or especially Sundays and about you. Sunday isn't about you. This time of gathering, while we receive blessing, it is about worship of our one true God. Sunday is about Jesus. And John the Baptist and Jesus gave us advice, didn't they? They said, repent and make straight paths. So if you've got something in your life that's blocking you from seeing God or hearing God or believing in God, you need to speak it out and confess it and release it. If you have sin or bitterness against God, you need to speak it out and release it. If you have sin or bitterness against somebody around you, somebody here in our church, somebody beyond, you need to repent and confess and release it and move to freedom. Sunday is about our worship. We do it together. And it's about us gathering together, but it's about our God. Do you agree? The second is, even though it's not just about you or specifically about you, don't give up on meeting. Hey, church, good job being here on this holiday weekend. If you're visiting, man, even an extra pat on the back, way to come to church when you're visiting. It's easy to take a week off. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to lose sight of it. Way to prepare in your schedule and to be here. God sees that. He blesses you for it. The third thing is, there is actual purpose in our style, in the way that we do worship at Crossroads. And I imagine there is purpose in many of the churches that you go to. Now, Isaiah 43 verse 19 says this: "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." The idea there is that as God moves, and as he's moved historically, who he is stays the same. Agreed, God is the same yesterday, today, forever. The way that he has moved develops and changes. And from its inception, Crossroads has engaged in worship with its finger on the pulse of what's happening currently, and even more globally. Would you agree with that, Mike? I've gotten Mike's head nod before. Ivy, Russ, Julie? Anybody else from Deception? Right? That's kind of where Crossroads has gone. Now, we honor, we value worship historically. Absolutely. Because that would be foolish for us to turn our back on what's behind. Which is why we sing songs like we sang for the first song this morning. It is well. Which has deep meaning behind it. But we continue to press in and press on to what God is doing, which means new sounds, new songs. Now, when we came to that last song, I noticed that some of us weren't singing as much. How many of us was that a new song for? Most? Most? That's great. That's okay. And it's totally fine if you are at the level of maturity where you can grab onto it and jump in, and even though you don't know it, sing your heart out and everything's fine. The caution, though, is if you start to pull back and go, "I don't know any of these songs. They're all new. I don't know what we're singing. I can't engage in worship." Here's the challenge for that kind of thinking. The challenge is that we've been trying to prepare ourselves as a church for somewhere around a year right now. And every Thursday we send an email out to you with the songs that we're going to sing so that you can prepare with us for Sunday. And so if you're extremely mature and you can jump in, great. But if you're, so I would line up with, I'm less mature. I'm fairly immature, right? And so I go, "I don't know the song." If you're like me in that a little less, then grab onto that email, start singing your heart out on Thursday so that when you touch down on Sunday, we're ready to go. The fourth is this. This is part of our vision here. We see a church that enters so completely into God's presence that its people always celebrate. We see a church whose worship is heard beyond its own walls, calling people into intimate relationship with Jesus. I can't tell you how many times recently where I'll be going through the week and all of a sudden a song that we sang together on Sunday starts to come up from within me. Or I'll hear it from one of my kids on Tuesday or Wednesday. All of a sudden, they'll sing a song that came out on Sunday. That transfers into the way that we are with our friends around us. See, our worship equips us and empowers us for mission, church. So I want you to remember this. The quality of an occasion, the success of it, is often determined by the amount of preparation that goes into it. I think the way that most of us prepare for Sunday worship is just to try and get there, which is a beautiful start. I love it. I'm so glad that you're here. And here's the reality. A lot of us are juggling extra things. So it's funny, we're talking about preparation. And so I was knowing that this was coming up. And so I'm doing my very best. Okay, so I'm talking to Jody. Okay, here's our schedule this morning. So we get up. I tried to wake up our worship team. Our worship team was sleeping at my house this week. I don't know if you noticed that. I tried to wake us all up and so that we would, there was no stress getting here. And inevitably, I show up late, I forget gear, all this stuff. And so I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your grace. And I want you to know that there is grace for you. Remember, there is invitation here, not condemnation. But the invitation, church, is so that you're prepared before you walk in. Because the way we do it right now is I think we arrive here, and by the end of Sunday service, we're actually prepared for worship. Do you know what I mean? So you're prepared right now. You're starting to get it. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Joel, I'm tracking with you. You're ready for worship, and what's going to happen when you walk out the door is you're actually going to enter into business and busyness. Which again, God's got you covered. But church, the only way you're going to realize that the cup is full and overflowing is if you pick it up and take a drink. Do you know what I mean? All right. So good. So good. There's two things I want to touch on as we close. Okay? Two things I want to touch as we close. So I'm going to invite those who are praying and those who are doing the communion, if you can make your way forward. And the first is there's an element for us to have our heads in the heavens. So remember we talked about God as he's done all the preparation work for you. The wall is as smooth as can be. If you took your light up to shine to see if there's any ridges or anything on that drywall, some of you know what I'm talking about? Some of us know. If you don't, ask somebody who's nodding. Everything is flat. It is perfect. And God's giving you the paint. He's done all the preparation work for you. And so our heads, the way that we're thinking, need to be in the heavenlies. And see, there's symbolism throughout Scripture. There's practice the way that the curtain, the temple curtain, was torn in two. Because our head in the heavens means that the work of Jesus has made it so that we not only go into the outer courts, which is where business and preparation for worship happens, we not only go through the outer courts into the inner courts, and remember the inner courts is where they burn the incense and the priests keep watch. We not only go through the outer and the inner, but we go into the Holy of Holies. And when we're in the Holy of Holies and our eyes are fixed on God who loves us and we're sitting in his love, our cup overflows. And when our head's in that space, nothing distracts. And that's the space that we do the painting from, if I can carry that analogy. That's when we paint. And so because of this access, what our feet on the ground look like, and that's the carrying out of this, is our worship and our ascribing of worth belongs to God, starting now, going through the week, until we meet again. And so this is the part that you really have to grab onto it and make it your own. Okay, I'm going to give you a few suggestions, but feet on the ground, it has to be your own. It has to be you saying, okay, I'm actually going to grab onto this and do this for next week. So here's one idea, is anticipate God's movement daily. Wake up in the morning anticipate God loves you and he's going to move in you and through you today. Speak that out loud. Watch him participate as he does what he does. Okay? Another idea is prepare your heart, mind, soul, body for worship next Sunday by adding or subtracting one thing. So maybe that looks like you saying, okay, on Saturday night, sometimes I get distracted and I stay up until 2 a.m. because I can sleep in before church. Maybe it looks like you saying, okay, Saturday night, I'm actually going to go to sleep early so I wake up and I can prepare in the morning before I come to church. Maybe it looks like no shows on Saturday night. Maybe it looks like listening through the playlist that we send out on Thursday so that you are part of the worship team when we gather on Sunday. There may be a group of leaders up on the stage, but every single one of us is part of the worship team. Do you know what I mean? See, this preparation, the only way it makes sense is if we grab onto it and we do it. Now again, caution against legalism. We don't need more rules. We need it that our heart is fixed on God because he is worthy. And that our behaviors fall in line after that. So I'm going to pray. If I can ask you to stand, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into ministry time. And as I pray, I just want you to be listening, because I believe that God, the Spirit, will speak to you. I believe that he'll give you a nudge that will say, hey, I want you to release this. I want you to do this. I want you to just listen, okay? And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come in this moment, that you would move among us, move in us, move through us. And so we acknowledge, Lord, that you have prepared the way. You have prepared the way by giving us access, not just to a half life or a mediocre life, but a full life in you. And that only comes, Lord, as we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, and as we believe it in our hearts. And so if that's a reminder of a message from a long time ago that you're hearing right now, or if that's an encouragement or something that's laying dormant, or maybe it's a new message, I just want to invite you that as we close, just to make your way up to pray with our prayer team. And for others of us, it may be that we have just become so busy and so focused on other things that we have given our worth to all of these other side ventures, thinking that they were good things, and they may even be good things. But you are reminding us right now, Lord, I believe, that the only way we're fulfilled is when you take that primary place. And so if that's you and you're grabbing on to that when we close, I just want to invite you to confirm that. Just by coming forward and taking part in communion. And so, Lord, we worship you. We invite you to move, Lord, in our midst. We invite you to stir up songs and life so that as we move from here, we carry your presence, we carry your heart, we carry your life. Your full life, Lord. Give us your joy, your freedom. As we pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. And so I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus to go from here filled with his Spirit, to carry his joy. And I want to encourage you, when you hear from God, if you listen, you will hear, I promise. When you hear it from God, I want you to tell it to somebody close. What does preparation look like for you? as you anticipate gathering with the church next week and raising your voice? What does that preparation look like? Bless you this week, church. Have an amazing one. So again, we've got our prayer teams here as well as communion here. Have an amazing week.